Aries Energy, BT and Sal, Brandon, Tierney, Sal, Licata Show, 888-808-1019. We'll get back to your calls in a moment. Sal, what do you got there?
Okay, so did you see anything on the Jets today or football-wise on the Jets at all?
I saw one thing.
What was it?
It was the top 25 players under the age of 25 on CBSSports.com.
Okay, so this is not that. So
and,
I
and the Giants hard knock stuff. That's it.
Okay.
That's all I've seen with football.
So we're going
today.
In fresh here.
Ooh, nice.
This
little freshie.
This is from Pro Football Talk.
Okay.
Their Twitter account. They did a power rankings.
Preseason? Like
preseason power rankings. 2024 pre-camp edition from PFT,
Oof.
Pro Football Talk. Power rankings.
Free agency just about over. A couple of stragglers. Draft done. Okay.
By the way, if we found out where Rodgers is, we know definitely. Like,
it never really came out, yeah, okay. But it was pretty much intimated that he was at a ayahuasca convention or,
well,
or
gonna
a
have
retreat
to
or something.
He'll answer to it
yeah.
at some point. Anyway,
yeah,
before we get to the Jets,
yes,
where were the Giants ranked? Your estimate. 32 teams?
32 teams.
Power rankings, pre-camp edition, Pro Football Talk.
I'm going to say that the Giants, let me just talk through this for 15, mm-hmm. 20
yeah.
seconds, quarterback who... coming off a torn ACL and is not a star anyway. No Saquon, better O-line. Burns will be very good for the defense. Thibodeau's good. Sexy Dex. Defense is good. I'm going to say 25.
Wow. Almost dead on. 28 for the Giants.
Okay. Not a lot of respect for the G-men.
I mean,
in.
That's kind of...
understood.
Yeah. They're 28.
Yep.
Understood. I mean, you could even pull up the standings and just like look at teams, so it's fresh in your mind. Who do you think is worse than the Giants?
No, I got
obviously
a sense
it's
of
a
what's
lot.
What. Yeah, I mean, whatever. I got
the,
it.
Who do you think is worse? A lot.
The Patriots are worse.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I got
that's
you.
One of them. They're
yeah.
31 on there.
Yeah.
Cardinals, Commanders, and the Panthers are the only teams that they have.
It's
worse.
Like the Commanders and the Giants always split, so you might have them ranked. Are they really? Are the Giants really worse than the Commanders?
Right,
or better?
Yeah, no.
It's kind of even.
Out. Although I do get the feeling, and maybe it's just because I got pumped up from that big blue thing, the 100th
yeah.
anniversary. I do get the feeling. Yeah, I think they're going to be better. I just trust Dable.
The defense is going to be pretty good. I think the defense with Burns.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, the only roadblock in my mind.
Yeah,
like,
I got you.
They need to prove it again. But anyway, I do
Definitely.
Think the Giants could be better than that.
All but right. Malik Nabers,
yeah.
star of the draft.
All right.
I said a draft
well, we'll
night.
See.
Watch.
Where do you think the Jets are?
All right, let me just go through these gymnastics here.
Well, who do you think is number one?
Well, let's just go through the process a little bit here. I like to bounce around when I do this.
Okay.
So obviously
okay.
Kansas City...
Kansas City is one.
Yeah, yeah. Kansas City's up there, obviously. Nobody in the Eagles. I'm not even going to take you through the other. I'm just going to give you a number where I think
okay.
the Jets should be.
Okay.
Going in. Eight.
Okay. You have the Jets at eight. The Bengals are at eight.
Okay. Jets are at seven.
The Bills are at seven.
Yeah, start pushing the other way here.
Well, I mean, you
Jets
can guess whichever
six.
Way you want. The Packers are at six.
There's no way. Do they have the Jets five?
The Eagles
All right,
are
dude,
at five.
I mean, come on, where are we?
Chiefs.
They're not four.
Chiefs, Niners.
They're going to be four.
Chiefs, Niners, Lions, Ravens, Eagles, Packers, Bills, Bengals. First eight.
Jets nine.
Buccaneers.
Jets 10.
Texans.
All right, sleep on us if you will. Jets 13.
Rams. Dolphins and Browns were 11 and 12.
Wow. Oof. Jets 17. I mean, this is going...
Getting warmer. The Bears are 17.
Wow.
Followed, they were preceded by the Steelers at 14, Chargers at 15.
New coach, I like
and,
him.
And the Cowboys at 16. So now, no matter what, we've given you the first 17.
Already past half.
Yeah.
19?
That's the Atlanta Falcons. 17 Bears, 18 Colts, 19 Falcons. Are the Jets top 20?
Man, let's see. 22.
Getting closer.
All right, come on, dude.
20 Jaguars, 21 Seahawks, 22 Broncos, 23 Vikings, 24
this
Saints.
This is stupid.
25 Jets.
Yeah, I mean, that's really one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. 25.
I love that you didn't see it.
Where'd you see this? Was it CBS Sports?
No, Pro Football Talk. I told you.
Yeah, they suck. Is there a little capsule that they like some sort of encapsulation, like a sentence? They usually do that.
The tweet was all complaints are welcome and expected.
Yeah.
Power ranks.
Okay.
But I first saw it and was like, oh, God. And
that's ridiculous.
And
dude.
Then I looked at the rest of it. I'm like, all right,
that's
well,
ridiculous.
All right,
no,
where would you put them?
Honestly, 11 or so.
Who would you put them over Miami?
I can't because of last year.
Understood. Would you put them over Cleveland?
Close.
Okay, so you're probably top 15 then. Would you put them
over the Jets?
Over the Cowboys?
They dismantled us a year ago. I was there, but it was.
Would you put them over the Chargers?
I mean, Chargers got to prove a little something here, like the Jets.
Oh, I know.
But I mean,
okay. Well, so then we're getting into the top. You're not putting them over the Steelers.
Why not?
Are you okay? Maybe yeah. I should. Okay, Steelers are 14, Rams are 13. You would put the Jets. I mean, you guessed initially what 8? Yeah, you guessed 8. You're guessing top 10. They aren't even top 20.
I was a little excited with that. Well, let me find one that's a little more palatable for me. All right, this is on NFL. Because I do have a theory with this stuff, right?
Almost nailed the Giants right
on it. Yeah, simple, right? Yeah, I told you, the Jets get in my way. The Jets make me seem as if I know nothing about football.
But it's
It's not. I can't judge quarterbacks. I can't analyze it. This team has twisted me sideways so much that all of my football sensibility has been stripped away by the Jets. I admit it. Whatever I say, do the opposite. Jets are going to beat the Niners. Take the Niners. Jets are going to lose to the Titans. Take the Titans. Just do the opposite, Sal.
I don't think, well, first of all, I love that, but I don't think you're wrong to or being irrational if you're upset with that ranking. Like, I get why they did it. That's like 20. I'm not putting the Bears over the Jets. Like, come on. I'm not putting the Colts or even the Falcons over the Jets.
No.
So they should at worst be 17. Like, at worst, they should be top 20. And even then, you could be like, all right, well, they could be a top 10 team. People are sleeping on us. But to have them at 25 behind the Broncos, the Vikings, the Saints,
well, let me ask you this.
Seahawks.
Here's my theory, right? My theory with these polls, they are preying on either the most passionate fan bases or the most vulnerable ones to jump in and get more digital traction.
Yeah.
This is a game, dude.
But I understand that, but almost everything else is accurate.
Well, think about that. Cowboys were where?
Cowboys were 16.
Okay. You don't think Cowboy fans are jumping in, you know, lighting this place on fire?
Nah, who are you putting ahead of them?
It doesn't matter. The Cowboys are going to parachute in. You don't think the Raider fans going bonk? Not that they have a right to.
Or them ahead of it.
Or the Packers. Yeah. Like the Cowboys, the national teams, the Cowboys, the Packers, the Raiders, a few others, they're going to come in.
Raiders are 26.
And yeah, it doesn't matter where you put those teams. They're going to react. But a team like the Jets with the Rodgers factor and this emotional volatility that we all go through as Jet fans, they are going to increase the digital footprint on that poll, on that ranking.
I don't. Now, I hope that I know what you're saying, and I do think that makes some sense. But I don't believe that was the primary factor here. I don't even know who it was. I saw Spike retweet this. That's how I saw it. And he retweeted
Spike.
He retweeted somebody else.
Did he get over the Embiid injury yet?
Yeah, probably not. He moved on, though, Spike, obviously, in many ways.
To the Phillies.
But I think that other people are going to be upset with that ranking. From a Jets perspective, it feels ridiculous because if everything goes well, now, again, if everything goes well, which one does that happen? But if everything goes well for the Jets, they should be a top 10 team, no?
Yeah, you would think. They are banking on some younger players now on the. I don't want to get too into the weeds on this now, but the D-line, like there's an assumption, the Jets defense is going to be phenomenal. No, it should be.
I thought you'd like that.
it certainly perks me up. I don't know if I like it, but the Jets lost some horses up front on the D-line, and now, you know, Will McDonald's going to be playing a little bit more. I do think Jermaine Johnson's awesome, so. But, you know, McDonald's a little light in the butt. You know, he's going to get pushed around a little bit. He's got to prove that I wouldn't have taken him in the first round a few years ago myself. But it is, it's go time, dude.
Yeah, it's football season. It's coming, man.
If they can't win this year, you know, it's it.
It's almost July. Next week's July.
I know.
Before you know it, players will be reporting to camp. We'll be talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and Daniel Jones and the Giants.
Before I know it, I'll be in Tennessee. I'll be actually in the stadium.
Which
I think
week
that's
is
called
that?
Week 2. I think it's Nissan Stadium for the Jets and the Titans. Then London, October 6th. And then I'll be in Pittsburgh Sunday Night Football. I think that's Week 8. Jets Steelers.
I'm excited for it, but I can't wait because I do want to enjoy the summer.
Oh, no, there's no doubt about that. And we are, and we're enjoying it more from a Mets perspective because the Mets have a season in front of them now. And the Yankees, despite this little, you know, stumble here, have cranked out 51 wins. And here we go. What a treat. Yanks and Mets Subway Series tonight. 888-808-1019. Chris in Queens. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to chime in on the conversation you were having before about, you know, what's an MVP and the Conn Smythe and all that stuff.
Yep.
So, first off, Ron Hextall won the Conn Smythe back in 87 with the Flyers when they lost to the Oilers in seven games. So it was 87, not in the 70s. But if you're going to take the perspective that...
Hold on a second. Hold on, Chris. Chris, what? If you're going to spew facts, they have to be factually correct. We are being fact-checked here. Go ahead, boy. Go ahead. Beat him up a little bit. Go ahead, Patty.
Yeah, Reggie Leach was the only other non-skater to win the Conn Smythe in a losing effort in 76.
No, but Ron Hextall won it in a losing effort. Yes, he was a goalie, but he won it in 87, and the team lost. Anyway.
Pat, is that correct?
I agree.
I don't know. I just remember the point was the only other non-skater to win it in losing effort was Reggie Leach.
It was Leach,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, but I was talking about guys who won it on losing teams.
Okay.
Anyway,
either way.
I agree with you 100% when you say an MVP should not get an MVP when your team finishes in last place, like Andre Dawson and A-Rod.
A-Rod.
I agree with you 100%. But is it always about, well, your team didn't win. Your team didn't win. Because then, you know, Jim Rice beat out Ron Guidry in 1978 for the MVP. I'm a Yankee fan. I agree with that decision 100%. Jim Rice was a beast that year, and Ron Guidry was, we all know.
But then they need to change the name of the award. I'm fine with that. Maybe it is semantics, but you can't be the most valuable if your team finishes in last place, or you can't be the most valuable if your team loses. Now, obviously, it's different than just the series if we're talking about versus the postseason, but still, I mean, the most valuable player in the postseason, how do you justify that being on a team that went home before ultimately winning a Stanley Cup or whatever, or the finals championship, whatever it may be, World Series? You know, that just never added up. A-Rod winning MVPs, empty MVP trophies. Yo, no, he's the most valuable player. No, he was maybe the most outstanding player.
Yep.
Maybe he was the best player statistically, but he wasn't the most valuable player.
Yeah.
It's a different thing.
There is. Listen, I've always leaned on this one equation that I've created, and it's simple for me. That doesn't always apply, but if you remove player X from team Y, which situation is most adversely impacted? Now, let's use that with A-Rod here. So you remove A-Rod, who was variable X, from variable Y, which is the Rangers. How are they adversely affected? They're not.
Right.
They're going to win maybe 7 or 8 games fewer, but they're still a doormat. Whereas, this is where I think I disagree with you a little bit fundamentally. You can take a player, whether they are a runner-up in a division, a wild-card team, fall short of the championship, but their impact is so quantifiably undeniable that I am fundamentally okay with acknowledging that if it's historical. And I know McDavid played more games than Gretzky, I think 8 or 9 more games, but he was right there with the point total. And trust me, I'm not a hockey expert, so I'm not going to start preaching hockey. No, if they would have gotten swept, they wouldn't have got the award.
But then, so it comes down to 3 games that ultimately ended in a series loss anyway?
Well, let me ask you this.
If it was so valuable, maybe they wouldn't have been down 0-3.
Well, you can look at it like that, too. That's why I'm saying it's imperfect. But
Or if he was so valuable, then, okay, well, yeah, even if they got swept, he was so valuable up to this point in historic. Like, he didn't have a great series statistically.
Well, if they would have gotten swept, do you think he would have won the award? I don't.
I would hope not.
Exactly. So that alone kind of tells you that...
Yeah, well, but I also don't think that he should have won the award anyway because his team lost.
Yep.
So if they gotten swept, he wouldn't have gotten it. So then what, just 3 more wins in the getting it to a Game 7 pushed him over the edge as far as being the most valuable player in the playoffs? I don't know if I'm buying that. And I love McDavid. I was rooting for the Oilers.
Yeah. All right, so maybe this isn't a great example because it was so early in the playoffs. It was the first round. So... Young Jordan scored 63? Was it 63 or 65? I think it was 63, but it could have been 65. Against the Celtics in the playoffs. Now, they were so inferior to the Celtics. You had Bird. This is prime Boston, dude. This is not old Bird with the Achilles in the back. This is prime Bird, prime McHale, Danny Ainge, Dennis Johnson, who won a championship in the late 70s with Seattle Supersonics. Lenny Wilkins was the coach. I mean, they just, all-time team, right? If you're too young, that's why I gave you a little history lesson. Most of you know that. And if Jordan did all that like he did in the first round, even though Jordan's team didn't win, his performance was so demonstrably better than anybody else on the court, I could justify giving Jordan MVP.
I can understand. It's got to be a, to me, it would be a rare circumstance. I don't agree with this one with McDavid.
Chris South Orange with BT and Sal on the Fan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. I enjoy this conversation about the MVP, and I kind of agree both ways. I have an idea. I think they should have two awards. Have a player of the year or a player of the tournament award and an MVP.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Well, it also should be, you're right, it should be a player of the tournament, which McDavid could have gotten, and then it should be a most valuable player of the Stanley Cup Finals. Like, just simplify it. There's an MVP of the NBA Finals. It's not of the entire postseason. Give out an award for each postseason, the best player overall in the postseason. Now, the problem is that, well, it's not even a problem, but you could have a repeat winner. You know what I mean? If the Oilers won the Cup, McDavid's going to be the MVP in the Finals and in the entire postseason. But still, I'd rather have that than have the most valuable player come from a losing team.
What was the year? Hold on. Was it 87? What was the year that Terry Pendleton won the MVP?
Yeah, I think it was 87, wasn't it?
Does that sound right?
Yes. But I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds right.
Weren't his stats really substandard? Can you look that up?
Yeah, you want to check out Pendleton?
Yeah,
right now?
Just check him out there, because I just popped up some of the worst, or, you know, quote unquote, worst MVPs in baseball history. You got it? Go ahead, Patty.
What do you got, Pat?
1991, Terry Pendleton 91. Won the MVP.
91?
And he hit 319, 880 OPS.
80-something ribbies, right?
22 home runs, 86 RBIs.
Ooh, yeah, but back
light,
then...
Well, no, I mean, but 86 RBIs is light.
Led the league with 187 hits.
Led the league in total bases
Nobody had 200 knocks that year.
Pendleton was a great player.
Great? Nah, he wasn't great.
Yeah,
he was
man.
Good. He wasn't great.
Mm.
No
he was
way.
Good. Oh, yeah,
he was good.
Well, and by the way,
come on.
By the way, he won on a Braves team. What was their record in 91, Pat? You have that up? But a Braves team that was starting to come up.
Yep, coming.
He was good with the Cardinals.
I know he was.
He took his career.
94 wins in 91.
Yeah. See, that to me, though, is most valuable. So you look at the numbers and say, well, maybe he wasn't the best player, although he led the league in batting average, total bases, and hits.
Yeah.
And on a team that won 94 games, a down Braves team, bringing the Braves from the basement to the penthouse.
Yeah, but I'd have to look at the rest of the MVP voting for 1991 because I would think that.
I got it right here.
All right, let's hear it. Alan Trammell in there? Nah, that was a little
NL,
bit past Trammell.
NL MVP. Bonds was second.
Oh, I was just thinking American League. What am I saying? I'm sorry. Bonds, go ahead. Bonds.
Cal Ripken won in the American League.
Yep.
Man, these are some great names.
I know.
Pendleton.
Tony Gwynn in there.
Bonds, Bonilla, Clark.
Bonilla.
Hojo.
Hojo, 30-30.
Ron Gant.
Yeah.
Hojo had...
Wait, so Ron Gant was on the Braves?
Yeah.
So... What was his stats?
He didn't get any first place votes.
Okay, but was he that much better than Terry Pendleton?
32 homers, 105 ribbies.
Wait. He had more home runs and more ribbies than the guy that he played with and won it?
He hit 251.
All right,
wasn't
as
valuable.
What was his OPS, Ron Gant?
I have
Pendleton's that year.
834.
All right. Gant had him, Pendleton had him by about 50 points.
Bonds, 880. Bonds led the league with 924.
Wow. Pretty low for a league leader. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, again, this was 91. Yeah, I'd say right before the steroid era. Hojo led the league in homers and ribbies, 38 and 117.
That's when he went 30-30, right?
Yeah, but
was that when he went 30-30? How many wins
did
he win a couple times,
have?
I think.
Yeah, he had 30 stolen bases.
Yeah.
38 homers, 30 stolen bases.
Huh.
Anyway, Pendleton, maybe great was a little strong.
Yeah, that's why I pushed back.
He was a really good...
Dude, he made one All-Star team.
I mean, he did win an MVP.
He made one All-Star team.
He won an MVP, and he was really good. He led the league 2 years in a row with hits.
It's a pet... I know he did, back in 91
He was on good Cardinals teams. He was on good Braves teams.
I know. He played with, you know, Whitey Herzog's team, McGee and Lonnie Smith.
Yeah.
And I know Jack Clark, Ozzie, Tudor, Andujar.
Yeah, great was strong.
That's what I'm saying.
Know,
like,
right.
To me, like, that is a pet peeve. Like, to me...
You shouldn't use the word great.
In our what we do, yeah. Like, great, we can't throw it around too loosely.
You're right. Good call. Good
now, we could call this show great, but we can't, you know, we can't be calling Terry Pendleton.
Good catch.
Great,
Can we get back to the Subway Series?
Yeah, we can. We're going to do that coming up next. 888-808-1019. All right, Met fans, how you feeling? Yankee fans, how you feeling? BT and Sal on the Fan.
Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. We know the whole spiel, you know, the whole routine.
So, all right,
we know the whole thing. Tonight, when we hear for the first time, now batting for the Yankees, number 22 right fielder Juan Soto, what kind of reaction? Is there an enticement from Met fans to give him a little taste of what might come? Is there venomous boos because he's a Yankee? What should happen, and what do you think will happen?
It's a great, great question. So we had this conversation months ago, and I said, you boo him. You don't ever cheer a Yankee. It's a non-starter. He's wearing a Yankee uniform. You boo him. You worry about the offseason. But I can only... First, I'm going to answer how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I can only tell you how I feel and what I would do tonight. And I don't know if I would get up and cheer him, but I would definitely not boo. And I think, if anything, my feelings right now would be to tickle a little bit.
Jesus, guy.
I said it, but you didn't realize. Hand gesture, too, if you're watching on Twitch.
No, you guys, I'm sure that'll be all over social media. Jeez.
No, delete that. I didn't mean it.
My
it just came.
God.
I would. I,
wow.
I'm getting the feeling that I would be a little flirty with Soto tonight because the Mets are playing well. The Yankees are down.
There you go. That was the call of the day. Caught me off guard with the little tickle thing.
And after that, I did more than tickle when we had Matt Harvey on.
You played him the song, though. I did. We played the rap song that Sal wrote in honor of Matt Harvey. Harvey Day.
Wild show. Fun show.
It's been a blast. I got a question for you. In many years, Sal, not every year, because some years you guys obviously have a stacked team where you have some faith in, but most of the time, I would venture to guess that, you know, you're certainly hopeful from a Mets perspective, but you kind of... watching with one eye, like, I don't want to get embarrassed at the Yankees. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole dynamic, right? Is the word confident this year?
I am confident right now. I know it's going to come back to bite me. I know, but I'm confident. You're right. Well, first of all, when it first started, I was too young and naive and foolish to know any better. I didn't know what was... Like, I believed in 97 the Mets were better than the Yankees. I just believed it. Mm. And it was foolish, but that's how I felt. And then obviously I learned my lesson year after year after year after year. However, I'm confident. Today I woke up confident.
Feel good?
Yeah. I made amends with Grimace. The Mets are playing well. Mm. The Yankees are in a little bit of a rut right now. Could go one of two ways. The Yankees could come out of their rut and pound the Mets like they normally do, or the Mets could keep this train moving here. And I tend to feel confident. I love the manager. I'm happy with the owner and the president. I feel good about. I don't love the pitchers. That's the only thing I don't like.
Oh, that kind of matters in baseball.
It does, but they are both lefty, and the Yankees haven't done anything against lefties.
Yep.
I feel good. I'm confident.
Is there any fear? Oh, this would be very fun to see this develop here. Your reluctant, begrudging acceptance of the Big Purple Man.
Yeah.
That. What transpired last night, the symbolic olive branch to Grimace, could be used against you if it now spirals out of control.
What, and Sal ruined Grimace?
Well, he didn't want us, and we didn't need him, and then all of a sudden he made amends with Grimace, and look at us, we've lost 6 of 8, and we're going in the wrong direction.
I mean, I guess that's possible. I didn't think about that.
I don't even want that to happen. Yeah. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, and I don't think that it will with this team. I think it's safe to believe in it. You know me, I was reluctant for a while. I felt Sunday it hit me. It's safe to believe. Although just when I did, Diaz got hit with a 10-game suspension.
Yeah. And I'm not trying to play just like the other side of the fence. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Yankees right now. Listen, of course Soto can go 3-for-4 tonight with 5 ribbies, or Judge can tank 2 bombs, and or the pitchers who are throwing, which is a distinct advantage for the Yankees on paper, can just come up and, you know, put, you know, 4 or 5 runs, 4 or 5 hits across the board each start, and the Yankees can really just get gems on the mound. Those things are all possible, and unlikely heroes can emerge. It's baseball. You never really know. I just don't like the way they look. I don't like their energy. I don't like their feel. The training room suddenly very full. The abundance of options that they had. I'll tell you, it seemed very, very reassuring to say this in April and May. Well, when Giancarlo Stanton, when he inevitably gets hurt, when he inevitably pulls something, we'll just bring Dominguez up. Well, he pulled something. You can't bring Dominguez up because Dominguez is out. Well, if Giancarlo Stanton gets hurt, by then Spencer Jones probably be rocking Triple A. We'll give him a call up. We're good to go. Nope, can't really bring him up either because he hasn't really earned it yet. So the options that were once a real asset for the Yankees, I mean, they are bare bones, man.
Yeah. Well, it's hard for me to even say this, let alone believe it. The Mets right now, they have a much deeper lineup than the Yankees do. Now, I'm not talking about team.
Alvarez changes that
for
you. Well, I don't think that's crazy what
because,
you just said.
Because he's
deeper.
Deeper. He's an impact bat. Well, obviously, the Mets can't compare to Volpe, Soto, Judge. But Lindor playing at the level he's at can negate Volpe and give you an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Nimmo's solid. J.D. Martinez is terrific. Alvarez, an impact bat. And I'm not even throwing in Alonso. Again, they're not at the level of Soto and Judge, but almost everywhere else, I think the Mets, especially with the Stan injury and no Dominguez, Verdugo has been ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Yankees are going to get J.D. Davis to throw him in the starting lineup.
I know. He's playing first base.
J.D. Davis and
they just got him. He's playing first base in the Subway Series.
I mean, now, the one thing he could do was usually hit lefties, so
sure.
I understand it, but like...
I know.
Come on.
It tells you a lot about the state of the Yankees right now. John's in Bayside with BT and Sal. Hello, John. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Just want to say happy Subway Series.
You too, John.
You too, John.
Man. Reminiscing on great times from the past, like getting physically removed from the Seven Line Army section at the 9/11 game and all the Bernie Madoff chants in the past. What a great time for New York baseball. My prediction, Yanks are going to take both games. Bounce back start from Gill, and I think Cole's going to be just fine tonight. Bullpen will be just fine.
I'll tell you what. Now, and listen, I hope you're right, of course. I know Gerrit Cole is going to be good this year. I know it. I mean, he's Gerrit Cole. Even if he comes out and throws a gem tonight and Heel does bounce back, and I'm a little less convinced that Heel throws a gem. I think he's got to work some things out a little bit. I'll be happy. I will still be worried about this Yankee offense. This is not. I don't think it's an overreaction. Do you?
No, I don't. The Yankees have four things going for them. Cole, Judge, Soto, Holmes. Outside of that, I think it's advantage Mets in every area. I mean, the Yankees are a better team. I'm just saying right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if Cole does his job through seven innings, is that going to be enough offensively?
I don't know.
And by the way, we don't really talk strategy or break it down X's and O's here. If I'm the Mets, I am not. Hey, listen up. I am not pitching. And I think Mendy is smart enough here to figure this out. I am not pitching to Soto or Judge. Especially Judge. You want to pitch to Soto? Fine. Do not pitch to Aaron Judge under any circumstance. You can limit the damage if you don't pitch to him. Now, really, BT, no protection behind him. Go make somebody else beat you. If J.D. Davis or DJ LeMahieu go nuts, so be it. I am no way throwing Aaron Judge a strike if I'm the Mets in this series.
Let's say Volpe grounds out. Let's say Soto lines out, you know, top of the first, nobody on,
well,
two out here.
I'd walk him.
You'd walk him?
100% I'd walk him.
I mean, you got to at least nibble and pretend you're interested in throwing a strike. You can't intentionally
I'm not trying to mess around and find out. I know it could happen.
I mean, just throw so lefties.
Judge doesn't have a problem with lefties.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I'm saying nibble on the black, but. I'm not saying you can't walk him.
I'm not kidding you. I would walk him all four times I face him. I don't care if the base are loaded. I'm walking Judge. Now, unless it's somebody out of the bullpen that you think could be a favorable matchup, righty on righty, I am not pitching with either Peterson or... By the way, this is not just a Mets thing. In baseball, especially now with the Yankee lineup being the way that it is, you need your head examined if you pitch to Aaron Judge. The guy, home runs, doubles left and right. You're asking for it. Let somebody else beat you. In that deep, robust Yankee lineup. Maybe it'll be Jose Trevino. Maybe it'll be DJ LeMahieu. I'll find out. Maybe it'll be Verdugo. Let somebody else get you. Let Trent Grisham do it. Not Judge. I'll even let Soto and Volpe get me. You have to pitch to somebody. I'll pitch to Volpe. I'll pitch to Soto. They beat you, you tip your cap.
Mm.
I am not, under any circumstance, pitching to Aaron Judge.
You mentioned DJ. We had an SNY up in studio. and they had one of the COVID games.
Oh, God,
yeah. With those paper cutouts. Got so depressed.
I actually had to shut them off.
We were such a mess. Yeah, I know. And they had DJ up. And I'm like, oh, it's a young DJ. It's when DJ could still hit.
Yeah. I mean, he was great. When he was
what about it? Hit 336. Yeah,
I don't think clutch.
He's going to look better than this. He literally doesn't have a single extra base hit. I think he's done.
He's washed off.
He's a done baseball
player.
You
know what scares me in this series? Oh. Oswaldo Cabrera.
Okay.
He's an impact, like, obviously outside of Judge and Soto.
Not a strong for the right side, though. So
you guys
are going to lefty tonight. Yeah. Not as bad.
Is he even going to be in the lineup tonight?
I think he's got to be out of necessity.
He
probably put DJ at third and Davis at first. He probably won't be. And then who do you DH?
I don't know.
I mean, you're not going to DH Austin Wells, I don't think,
Jones?
As a lefty.
Jamai
he
bet
5th the other night. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah. Hey, good. All right, 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal. We got you till 2. That is Evan and Tiki coming up next. Back to the Subway Series calls next. Yankee fans, Met fans, carve out that turf. We're going to hammer them next, and then we'll say goodbye, and we'll hand it over to Evan and Tiki next on The Fan. All right, another checkpoint for summer here. You know, get some Memorial Day where we do the show out of DJs. Start to ease into the official start of summer. And it's Punk's way to buy the Yanks and the Mets, and then July 4th, and then training camp.
4th of July next week. It doesn't seem real.
Fast.
Hell yeah.
Fast.
Yeah.
Fast. Yeah. But all good stuff.
It's already week three. You believe it?
Well, I mean, think about this. It's kind of turned a little bit here. Like, you know, the Mets are promising.
Thank goodness, man. We have a summer. Hey. Bigger picture, too, because we talk about the Jets and Giants. Well, Giants, who knows how the season's going to play out, but maybe we can get the Mets, Knicks, Rangers, Islanders.
Get again. No, you don't Mets, count the Devils, but I do. No, got to get the Devils a goalie.
Mets,
yep.
Yankees. I'm saying already in this postseason, right? We had the Knicks.
Oh, already. Okay, gotcha. Yep.
Well,
yep.
The Knicks and Rangers. Uh-huh. You can throw the Islanders in there.
Yeah.
Yankees will be in.
Yeah.
Maybe the Mets could be in. We expect the Jets. Maybe the Giants. I mean, this could be one of the great.
Here we go.
Playoff. Now, again, a lot's got to happen. But the fact that the Mets are back up, giving us a summer here, we could have both these teams in. Hey, we thought we were going to have it. At least I did. I know you were down on the Mets going into last season.
Yes.
But I thought for sure both teams would be in the postseason. And neither made it. Like, I still can't believe the Mets and Yankees last year gave us nothing.
It was depressing.
In the summer.
I mean, that's why you can't lean on just teams being good to have good content. But right. I mean, geez, they didn't give us anything. They didn't throw us a bone.
Well,
Rodgers going down immediately. The Giants getting waxed every week. 40-0 at home to start the season at Dallas. I mean, the Yankees not even in the playoffs, as you said. The Mets, just that was dark.
It's going to be different. I know that. So we're almost finishing our first season together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this should be different now with the Yankees certain to make the playoffs. The Mets looking like a potential playoff team, and knock on wood, maybe Rodgers doesn't go down 4 snaps in.
That would be good. Let's get back to you guys here. 888-808-1019. It's Big T and Sal, Ozzy and Woodbridge. What up, Oz?
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
What's up, Ozzy?
Good, Oz.
The Mets on to boo or not to boo. You want to go to have a positive vibe between heading into potential free agency? If the Yankee fan is smart, they're going to be 50%, if not more, in Citi Field. They boo, and then they say to Soto and social media and whatever, oh, with the Mets fans.
Oh, no.
You want to go there?
You're thinking way too much about this, Ozzy. And thank you for the call. Come on, there's too much there. No. First of all, it's not going to be 50% Yankee fans.
It might be.
No way.
Yeah, what do you mean, no way?
50%?
What, that's never happened before? Come on, they're not been in the building when it was.
Now, the way that it is now, with Met fans being excited about this team?
I mean, again, 50 seems a little heavy, but you know it's going to be north of 35. It's going to be in that neighborhood.
50 is a little strong.
I agree it's a little strong, but it's not so irresponsibly strong.
Also, it's fun to talk about. Let's not make it like the Met fans or Yankee fans boo or cheer Soto, it's going to have an impact on him. He wants the most money. And if he doesn't want the most money, it's because he wants to win and be in the pinstripes. Like, whether the Met fans show him a warm reception, boo the pants off of him, it's going to have minimal impact, if any at all, on where he signs in the offseason.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's going to get out there and take his customary spot in right field, and he's going to look around and he's going to say, not a lot of juice out here in right field.
You say, wow, there's actually some space out here in right field.
Which means as I get older, it's more space I got to run and got to cover.
It'd be a nice DH in a few years.
That also means more space so I can't just attack 314 feet with the pole, even though he hits the left field.
Yeah.
He's going to feel, you know, I mean, right field, and I like Citi Field, but right field at Citi is, I mean.
See, if I were sitting
compared
in right,
to the Bronx?
If I were sitting in right field tonight, I'd go there with a big sign that says, right at home.
Right at home.
Right at home, Juan.
Mm.
This is your home. Yeah. Go to your home.
Yes, please.
Go to your home. I'd just be yelling at him the whole time. With each drink, with each surf side, it gets louder. Go oh, to your oh, home.
God. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Juan, go to your home. You're right at home, Juan. All game long, just riding.
I did that once with Tiger at a major. I have video. I got to play it on the air someday. I was a couple drinks in, too. Tiger and Phil. Ooh.
Where was this?
This was this the one at Marion? Me and Martell went. Hold on. Was this, I think it was.
You just razzing Tiger the whole time?
Not in a bad way, but I just so loud. You know, both of our voices are loud. And it was booming. Like, Tiger's walking, he's putting off, and he's like walking up to get to the next tee box. And it's kind of quiet. And I'm just like a buffoon. Just so loud, cutting through everything. Oh, my God. Mark's at Oceanside with BT and Sal. What's going on, Mark?
Guys, how are you?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Mark?
Good. I got a question for both of you, and I don't understand why the Yankees keep putting LeMahieu out on the field and why the Mets keep putting McNeil out on the field. To me, they're both sunken costs.
Yeah.
They both are getting paid, I guess, $10-plus million. But watching the two of them play, and I have a lot of friends who are Yankee fans. I'm a Mets fan. It's just watching, like, paint dry watching these two guys hit. I know Iglesias is not the long-term answer, but at least he puts his bat on the ball and hits a few line drives.
He does. Well, but hold on, Mark. You started this with, you know, you have a question for us. Let me at least give you the answer.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is that neither team really has other options too much. Now, you guys have one in Iglesias more so than the Yankees, but Yankees have no options right now.
What about Peraza?
He's hit 140, hit 140 in the minors.
Yikes.
140?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and as bad as McNeil has been, LeMahieu has been even worse. Like,
yes.
I would get rid of McNeil yesterday. Actually, I would have gotten rid of him 3-4 years ago. And I do think the Mets eventually... Look, think about what the Mets have done here and how they've cleaned up this team on the fly this season at different points. This reliever's not getting it done. See ya. This guy's not getting it done. See ya. Whether it's off the team, whether it's to the bench, whatever it may be, McNeil's not as easy of a decision as that, but we're getting to the point where now the Mets are going to be taken seriously here.
Mm.
And every game counts. We're starting to get out of evaluation mode and finding out, you know, what they may be throughout the course of the season to, okay, now we're going to put the pedal to the metal and take a run at this thing. That means Jeff McNeil is going bye-bye in one way or another. Whether it's Iglesias is going to take over, whether they bring up Acuna or whoever. They could fill second base. It's not going to be Jeff McNeil. Right now, Iglesias has done a nice job, but I think eventually you might be seeing one of the kids come up. It's not going to be Jeff McNeil.
I was looking at Acuna's numbers this morning, ironically.
Been playing better.
He's hit about 271, I think 25, 26 steals. OPS at 780, 790. Bad start. So factor that in where the numbers are not amazing, but they're pretty good, and he really got off to a rough start, so he's been playing well for a while. I know you wouldn't do this. I would trade... It, from the Yankees' perspective, I would take Jeff McNeil in a heartbeat for DJ.
I know you wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't want LeMahieu. Well, what does LeMahieu do?
Well, what does Jeff McNeil do?
Yeah. Well, at least McNeil could play. I mean, Jeff McNeil can move.
That's my point. Yeah. That's why I would take him. Yeah, I know he can score from first on a double.
Play third, yeah.
DJ's creaky, man. He looks absolutely physically shot.
He's got no extra, like, you're a major leaguer. You can't get an extra base hit?
Yeah, he also just has that body. Even when he was younger, like, he's 6'4". He never looked quick. Now he just looks broken. Artie's in Rockland, unfortunately, for him. He's been a really good pro. What's up, Artie? How you doing today?
Hey, how you doing? Listen, Artie. You had a caller. Thank you. You had a caller that said he was a Yankee fan, and he had no problem with Jim Rice winning the MVP over Guidry. I met Guidry 4 or 5 years ago. He told me that the writers apologized to him, many of them, because they voted 2 weeks before the season ended, because back then you got a ballot in the mail.
Okay.
Many of them voted when he only had 22 wins. After the season ended, when he was 25-3, which is an unprecedented season,
yep,
the highest winning percentage of any 20-game winner in the history of baseball, many of them said they apologized. They called him, "We're so sorry. We should have waited till the end of the season 2 weeks later when you won the Becky Dent game with your 25th win on 3 days rest. It would have been a landslide if they all waited."
Okay.
He should have won, Guidry. Guidry should have won.
All right. I'm not saying that you're wrong, but, I mean, Jim Rice was pretty amazing, dude. And Jim Rice also faced some backlash based on race, where Jim Rice didn't win stuff in Boston. I'm not saying that that's fair to Ron Guidry, but, you know, Jim Rice had some moments where, let me just look at that. I know what Guidry did. Jim
Rice. 78.
78. Yeah. That was the one game. Bucky Dent home run deep to left. Yastrzemski, mm-hmm, will not get it. It's a home run. A 3-run home run for Bucky Dent. Let's see here. The great Bill White on the call. Let's see. Jim Rice, 78. I mean, okay. Let's tap the brakes a little bit here. Jim Rice played every single game that year. Mm-hmm. 163. Led the league
in almost everything.
As an outfielder with 213 hits, he had 15 triples, led the league, 46 home runs, led the league, 139 ribbies, led the league, hit 315, OPS 970, OPS plus, led the league, total bases, led the league. Stop.
Come on.
I mean, that is ridiculous.
Come on. If there's ever a season that a guy should win the MVP, it's
my
that.
My God.
He led the league in almost every category. I know Guidry was great. Jim Rice was the MVP. Now, obviously, I didn't see it with my own eyes, but I'm looking up the numbers here.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it was that big of a disparity. Like, come on. That led the league in everything. If Jim Rice didn't win the MVP, that you're something you're wrong.
It's like a Manny Ramirez season, and Manny was on stuff. I mean, Jim Rice was an absolute masher. One of the most feared righties of all time. All right, Sal. Should be fun tonight. Get those texts ready. I'll be firing them in, emojis and all.
Lindor, he's going deep, first at bat against Cole. I feel it.
It's going to get personal. You know, if a few guys do damage, my life's going to be tough. And it's all good. We'll be back for it tomorrow. You too. Subway Series. This is what we've been waiting for. So everybody enjoy it. And we are back tomorrow. Evan and Tiki coming up next. They're out there in Queens. So let's go, Yanks. Go ahead, buddy. Give you Mets a little shout-out.
Let's go, Mets, BT.
We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.